Amen. Tonight we're in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Colossians 1, 9 to 12. The reason we're going just over those four verses is because this is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. There's a beautiful prayer in Ephesians also, and more or less the same thing as Colossians 1, 9 to 12 here. We can learn a lot from the prayers in the Bible. They teach us what to pray for and how. And remember, this book, or this church, the church at Colossae, Paul never met these people. He doesn't know what they look like, never been there. And he's writing it from prison. It's one of the prison epistles, and we cover that. But you notice he doesn't pray for the trial that he's in and what he's going through. He doesn't pray for himself, but he prays for others. He prays for this church that he's never seen. And that shows us a real heart for God and for God's people. And Paul had that. And Jesus said, "By this you'll know you are my disciples by your love one for another." It doesn't matter if we have ever seen people on the other side of the world, we still need to pray for them. Now, what does he pray for? What he prays for, and we see that in Scripture, he prays what's best for them, what's needful for them. That's what we pray for, what's best for someone, what's needful for them. And this prayer is needful for them in every church. You see, there were false teachers threatening the truth of the gospel like there are today. These people believed in the truth, and there were lies coming among them. And the best remedy for a lie or a false doctrine is what? The truth. You see, all we have to do is present the truth. It's never us to be on the defensive, because we have the truth. We're always on the offensive. And the way we remedy other doctrines and faiths is not by shooting holes in it. Then you get into these arguments, and you can go back and forth, and then they'll test you in what you believe, and you might not be able to back it up, and then they've got you in a corner. The best remedy is the truth. Just present what you know. And, someone shouldn't come up to us and say, "Well, tell me, why you think we're wrong and what you believe in is right." We don't have to do that. All we have to say is, we have the truth, and here it is. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't, that's between you and God. That's so great about the Christian faith, is we have the truth. I don't have to defend it. I don't have to apologize for it. I don't have to do anything with it. I just present it. And then it's up to people. What I tell people, God is so good that he allows you to make a decision what you want to do with your life eternally. This is the truth. Not everyone's going to believe it. You don't want to believe it. That's between you and God. But this is the truth. And this is what he's trying to encourage them. And you have the truth, and you need to grow in that truth. Paul's intercessory prayer here is spiritual in nature and not physical. Most of his prayers are not physical or material. They're spiritual. Would you rather be well off spiritually, materially, or physically? If you had a choice out of the three, spiritually, because that takes me into eternity. Everything else stays here, spiritually. This church needed to be strengthened and encouraged in their Christian faith. They were strong. What a wonderful prayer, verses 9 to 12. I would covet this prayer from other people. And I'm sure they would covet it from us, that they would want us to pray like this. He starts out in verse 9, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it," remember, Timothy, his brother in the faith, is right there writing with him And there's other believers around. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, for this reason, what does he mean by that? Well, because of the previous verses, you know, where he heard about their faith, their love, and their hope. You know, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. He heard about this from probably from Epaphras we read last week. And he heard it. He's never been there. And by word of mouth, they got out. These people have a strong faith, a great love for each other, and a hope. That's incredible. In that day and age, the first church is here. No electronics. Everything had to be done by word of mouth. And yet it got out all over that known world. They have a strong faith. And they love each other. He says, for this reason, because we heard about your faith, your love or hope, and what a great church you are, we also, you know, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Isn't that interesting? We think people that got it together spiritually, strong Christians, in church, in Bible study, serving, we think sometimes they don't need prayer. It's the other people that are hurting that need prayer. He prays for this church that is strong, doesn't cease to pray for them. He intercedes for them. We heard you're doing well, but he prayed that they would keep growing and standing in truth. Satan's going to attack where the truth is. And we need to pray for each other spiritually, to be spiritually well, because Satan can get at us. And so he's praying for this church. He didn't say, oh, we heard that you're doing so well that we're happy and we'd like you to join us in prayer for this other church over here that's not doing so well. He says, we're praying for you, that the light would shine even brighter. What is he praying for? We're going to read about the things he's praying for. What a prayer. First things he's praying for, we do ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. First thing he's praying for is for spiritual knowledge and understanding. He says, we're praying that you may be filled with this. That word means filled, full, complete. Not just a half a glass, full to the top. We're praying that you'll be filled full with what? With the knowledge of God's will, his will. I think that was always the most asked question in all the years I've been in the ministry. People want to know, how do I know God's will for my life? Maybe you're still wondering that. We still wake up and wonder, what is God's will for my life? Everybody wants to know that. So he's praying for that. He's praying for them that you would be filled to full with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think we all want to know God's will. But then when we know it, we must do it. With the knowledge of his will. First of all, he wants them to have the knowledge of his will. And we need that. We need it. We need knowledge of God's will for our life. And in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why does he say that? How does that tie together? Well, he's praying for spiritual intelligence. Wisdom from above. He's praying for wisdom from above. We put so much emphasis today on the human intellect. Well, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to get this degree, then you work at this and you keep working at it and you work way up. And everybody seems to be emphasizing the human intellect. We need spiritual understanding and intelligence. We're Christians. We're here for a purpose. And so he's praying for, you know, that you're filled with the, that you know his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, we know what God's general will for us is. That's in the Bible. We know what his will for us. With the things we read, this is his will for us. Be this way, that way, don't do this, do that. Bear fruit. All these things we have in here. We know he wants us to walk godly in Christ Jesus. Bear fruit, glorify God our Father. Be a light in the darkness. We know God's will for us here. It's in the Bible, his general will for us. It's in the Word of God. And we know what is right, what is wrong, how we are to live, worship, act. The Word of God reveals these things. That's his will. His will is that we don't be anxious, that we don't worry. We'll get into that Sunday. That we rejoice in him. And we have the Holy Spirit in us who teaches us so that we can understand, have the knowledge of God's will. Let's turn to John 14. John 14, please. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you indwelt with the Holy Spirit? I hope you say yes. Because when we're born again, we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It says right here, he will teach you all things. So when we read God's word, I, a pastor, other teachers, pastors, Bible study teachers, can expound on God's word, but the Holy Spirit takes that and teaches us. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Spirit that things happen. Look at John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will guide us. He will teach us. He will point us to Jesus. We're born again Christians and we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaching us. So we have the knowledge of God's will for us generally as Christians. Same for you and for me. We have that. We have the knowledge of God. And that's what he prayed for, that they would have the knowledge of God, be filled with the knowledge of his will. God tells us his will. But we also need specific guidance in our daily life. That's where everybody has the problem. Now, we have the problem in the first part. We know it, we have the knowledge of it, and we don't do it sometime. And we wonder why things don't go good. Well, you know, because we've blown it. So even when we have the general knowledge, we still don't even do that. But once we have the knowledge of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us, you know, we need specific guidance. We have the knowledge of God's will. That's what he wants for them. But then he says in verse 9, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the application, right application of knowledge. We have a lot of people today with knowledge. Did you notice this is kind of going around today in our day and age, a lack of wisdom? Duh, you wonder where people are at. No wisdom. See, we can have the knowledge, but we need the wisdom and all wisdom and understanding. So, that's why he's praying this. We first have the knowledge of God. We have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We know his will. Then we need wisdom, which guides us on how to apply the knowledge we have. You know, oh, God, I want this in my household or in my life. How do I apply your word in this case to my life? So we know truth, but we need wisdom to apply the truth to our life. And then the understanding, where does that come in? The understanding means we need to make sure that the knowledge and then the wisdom on how to, what we believe is the wisdom and how to do this now and apply this, agrees with God's word. Because did you ever say, well, I believe this is right? And it wasn't, but you thought it was right. And you thought that was God. That's why we need the knowledge. We need wisdom to apply that knowledge. But even when we get that far, you know what? Before I do this, does it really line up with God's word? I really need spiritual understanding. Because maybe I'm not going to be doing the right thing. So he also prays for that understanding. Especially when you want to do something in your life or you want something in your life, it's so easy to say, well, I believe that's God's will for my life. And I've heard a lot of people say that. You know, I've heard people where the guy's cheating on his wife and or the woman's cheating on her husband, and a counselor will say, well, I believe he led me across this woman. This is God's will for my life. And I'll say, okay, let's see where that is. It's not there in the book. We need wisdom, and then we need understanding that that's not right. That's not God's will. So that's how we know God's will. We have God. We have the Holy Spirit who teaches us. We have God's word. So God speaks to us. You know, we know what to do, what not to do. So we get a general understanding. Then we get wisdom. Well, here's how I can apply this to my life. And then the last thing is, well, I need understanding to make sure that that's not my flesh, because I so want it. And I so want this thing. You know, if God, if this is your will, let me get that house. And a door closes, But, you know, sometimes we don't take no for an answer. Well, I'm going to make this happen because I know this is God's will for my life. And so you make it happen. And guess what? You didn't have the understanding properly. You did it, and now you're in a hole and things go sour and it causes problems. So you see how it all fits? And then if we go through all of that, we'll be in the center of God's will. But you see, a lot of it is left up to us. We think, well, I'm just going to see this writing in the sky. Oh, I'm going to know. Well, I wish it were that way, don't you? Wake up in the morning, God, what do I do about this? And all of a sudden, this plane goes over your house. Don't do it. Wow, that would be great, wouldn't it? Honey, we don't have to do it. Let's just stay in bed today. You know, that's great. But it's us working, like we've studied before, working out our salvation. We have our faith, we and there's God's will. And so we have to work this out by applying these things. So this prayer basically is that they would understand what God wants them to do and are wise in their decisions to be pleasing to God. That's what he wants for these people. He's praying for spiritual growth, the first prayer, to the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's a great prayer, isn't it? Boy, that's what I want. To know God's will, have wisdom and understanding, so that, and especially to these people, so that they don't fall prey to these false teachers in doctrine and start believing something else. You see? When you're stable in the Lord and you're full of, you know, this, you know God's will, that you give your life to Jesus Christ and all these other things, and you have wisdom and spiritual understanding, and you're standing on the rock, it makes decisions a lot easier, and it makes false doctrines very evident to you. You say, oh, that's not right. Even sometimes when you don't know, you might be listening to someone on TV or you hear something on the radio, and you hear them and you hear them, and you say to yourself, did you ever do this? There's something not quite right. There's something, I can't put my finger on it. It's not quite right. And so you pray about it, and then all of a sudden you hear something say, ah, that's it. That's not God's will. That's not the Word of God. That's because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Sometimes you can't put your finger in it. I notice this when I come across people like that, and you just, even personally, you don't know what it is, but there's something that not quite right. I found if you just wait and observe and listen, eventually it comes out. Because God is good, and He'll show you. You say, oh, that's false doctrine. So that's why he's praying for that, because we need that to determine false doctrine. It's a good prayer. Now, we don't need, and this is what this prayer is about. They're really a young church. Every church here is a young church. It's the first century. Now, he's telling them to be content in what they have. We don't need, as Christians, to search for deeper truths or new things. And many people do. Something new. Oh, I heard about this going on over there. We don't need that. We don't need to search for new things. And he's telling them, just because someone comes along your path and starts teaching you another doctrine, doesn't mean you need to check it out or search out new things. Be content in what you have. You see, we have Jesus Christ, the truth. So we don't need anything else. We have all we need in our faith. We have it all as soon as we give our life to Jesus. But we need to grow. It's like a baby. They're born. We're born again. They're born. But boy, they sure need to grow and mature. It's exactly the same with a Christian. We need to grow in God's Word, mature, understand God's will. He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of God. That's why we're in Bible study. You know, a lot of people don't like to discipline themselves to do that. You know, we need to be spiritually well. In our day and age today, we need to be spiritually well. We need to be buffed out in the spirit. Because it's terrible out there. But we have to understand, we don't know it all. And we keep maturing and growing. Just like a baby, we grow, we mature. And so it's good to know and understand God's will for our lives. And not search for new things or deeper things and try to jump ahead, but just be content in what we have and start growing in it. You see, too many people spend time on searching out new things or experiences. And people get caught up with emotional things, you know, deeper things, hidden mysteries. What we as Christians need, each one of us, is to be filled with the truth we have, and we need to continue to grow in it and be strong in it. Now, that sounds kind of boring to a lot of people. We have it. The rest of your life, you don't have to search or experience different things. You just need to grow in it. But it's wonderful to grow in your faith, isn't it? When you look back, what you knew before and what you know now, isn't it wonderful? Life's so much better. A lot of people like to just jump into something new as if that's going to satisfy them. There is no new thing. I've heard it said, if it's new, I forgot how it goes, so I'm not going to say it. Something about if it's new, it's not. What is it?
It ain't true.
If it's new, it isn't true. No, it isn't that. If it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it isn't new. You got it. I'll accept the word ain't, but it isn't. But that's it. If it's true, it isn't new. And if it's new, it isn't true. Because it's the old thing, the old time religion. Now, verse 10, the second prayer. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Now, isn't that a good prayer? I pray that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Who are we out to please? We spend so much time trying to please people and the world. That's not going to matter in our walk with the Lord. We should naturally be nice, gentle, kind, loving people without setting out to do that. That should be a byproduct of who we are, fruit. We should be concerned about fully pleasing God. If we're fully pleasing God, I guarantee you, you'll be blessing other people because you'll be bearing fruit. So when he says the second prayer, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, what he's talking about of walking in obedience to God. That's his next prayer, walking in obedience to God. We are to walk according to our faith and be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's a good prayer. We need to live so that one always is pleasing to the Lord, and that happens by being obedient to the Lord. How do we please the Lord? By being obedient to the Lord. Remember Saul, King Saul? He didn't do what God told him to do, but he sacrificed what he brought back. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, the prophet said, to obey is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice all you want in the world. God says, I don't need that. I just want you to obey me. He tore the kingdom from his hand and gave it to another because he wasn't obedient to the Lord. So Paul's prayer is for these believers that they remain obedient to the Lord and the word of God so that they fully please the Lord. We're to be obedient sons and daughters and not listen to the false teachers or stray or seek new things. And we will be pleasing to God, fully pleasing to God. The third prayer is in verse 10, that they would be fruitful in every good work. That's the third prayer, that they would be fruitful in every good work. He wanted this church to bear good fruit. And that's how we will be pleasing to God. How do we bear good fruit? Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Sometimes we wonder, why is this happening to me? It's like a tree being pruned. Now you're taking this away from my life and doing this in my life, Lord. What's going on? You're being pruned so that you'll be fruitful. He says, you already are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, live in me, stay attached to me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we bear fruit by simply being attached to Jesus and walking in the Spirit. And natural fruit comes out. And we bear good fruit. And he wants this church to be fruitful, bearing good fruit. Look at verse 8. By this is my Father... My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. He wants us to bear much fruit, and that's what Paul is praying for this church, that they would, you know, be bearing much fruit for the Lord in every good work. And then in verse 10, the fourth prayer, that you would be increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants them to know God more and more. We have knowledge of God, but we should be increasing in our knowledge of God. That's what's terrible when people don't stay in the Word of God or churches depart from going through the Word of God. A person will not continue to grow. You won't know God more and more. Our heart's desire should be to know God more and more. You know, the more you know Him, the more you love Him. Oh, it's so wonderful just to know God, isn't it? Paul wanted to know God, and he wanted to know not only his resurrection, but his suffering. He wanted to really know God, everything, every way. through reading the Bible, studying, praying, worshiping, listening. Job got to know God. How did he get to know God? Through a very difficult trial. Let's go to Job chapter 42. Job 42. We know what Job went through. The loss of everything, even including his children. Look what Job, at the end of it all, look where the Lord brought him. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. See, he didn't really know the Lord. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He says, I thought I knew you, but I only had a head knowledge of you. But going through this, I now know you. Because you took me through this and I saw your faithfulness. We should pray that for others and for ourselves, that we would really have the knowledge of God. Fifth prayer, verse 11, for God's strength, that you might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. He prays that they would have strength, God's strength, in them. See, we don't have power or energy to live out this Christian life. People, you can't say, well, I'm going to do this. We don't have that power. Thank God we have the power to do it through his glorious power. So he prays that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. They're going to go through problems. They're going to need patience. They're going to have long-suffering. He wants them to go through it with joy. The only way we can do that is through God's power. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's the only way. We are victorious because of God's power. And so he prays that for them, that they would have the power of God. And in verse 11, we need patience and long-suffering at times, and it's the only way we're going to get it, is through God's glorious power. Then 12, the sixth prayer, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Paul's prayer is that they would be thankful. I want you to have a thankful heart toward God. See, God provided the way of salvation for us. And so he prays that they would be giving thanks to the Father. Why? Because God is the one who qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We weren't qualified to go to heaven. We would not have made it on our own. Isn't that wonderful? The Father qualified us to be partakers. Did you ever try to do something and not qualify? It's a horrible feeling. You feel terrible. Oh, I didn't do it. And you didn't qualify. Isn't it wonderful? God walks over and says, you know what? I'm going to qualify you. I'm going to put you in heaven. Here's Jesus. I'm reveal my son to you. Have faith in him. Give your life to him. We give God thanks because he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We didn't qualify on our own. And it's horrible when you don't qualify for something. But God qualified us. Wonderful prayer of spiritual blessings. I'm going to close with Psalm 100 if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 100 verses 1 to 5. Psalm 100, 1 to 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Thank you, God, for qualifying us to be with you in heaven. Lord, and we pray these things for ourselves today and for others. As we worship you now, accept our worship and praise. And we pray we're singing with a heart of thanksgiving that you're glorified here. And Lord, never let us get dull or boring of your word. I pray that we would always love it and cherish it, knowing that it's how we get to know you more. Put a fire in our heart for you and the things of the Spirit, Lord. Don't let the things of the world have a grip on us. We pray, Lord, that we're good and faithful servants, that we serve one master, and one day we're going to be so happy, Lord, to be with you in heaven. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.